Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before we get into our Monday QA session, I want to chat a bit about the University of Florida Online Masters in Sports Management. Every week people ask me, where should I go for my master's? Can you recommend an online degree program? What kind of attributes should I look for in a program? And I always tell everyone, get specific. Match what you want for your career with the program you sign up for. For example, the University of Florida has three in-demand specializations: athlete development, high performance coaching, and sports law. If you want to pursue careers in this area, Florida is your match. Plus, you are never alone in this program. They offer career coaching services where students receive one-on-one career support to help guide and inform them throughout their time as a Gator and beyond. You can take classes part-time or full-time, and they're 100% online, perfect for working people. For more information and to download a free brochure, check out ufsport.org. One more time, for more information and to get a free brochure, check out ufsport.org. Now, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Coming up later this week, very excited to have Lisa Bregman, Seattle Seahawks Director of Marketing, on the show Wednesday. We're set to conduct our interview later this afternoon, and if all goes according to plan, and it should, Lisa will be Wednesday's guest, which I'm really excited about. Just to show you that all that I practice what I preach, I met Lisa at the Sports Industry Networking Conference in Washington, D.C., like 5 years ago, the SINC conference, S-I-N-C. At that time, she was the LA Galaxy's manager of digital and social media, and we struck up a conversation. I didn't have the podcast at the time, so I wasn't working the angles to land guests. I was just, you know, taking a chance to meet somebody in the industry who was interesting and a nice person. So her and I talked some. We've connected on LinkedIn. And then, hey, like last month, I thought, Lisa, of course, she'd be a great guest. So reached out, made it happen. So that's what I'm talking about. Meeting people, building a relationship, keeping it going. You know, I really don't like that word networking. I prefer relationship building, but whatever you call it, it matters and it works. She needed to get the approval of the Seahawks for the interview. And I'm telling you, if we hadn't met and built up a contact before, I doubt she would have bothered having to run through the steps of getting PR approval. She would have just probably blown me off. Busy people in high pressure roles don't tend to look for ways to add more to their plate unless it's worth it. So build those relationships, people, get to know people and keep up with them. It'll work. It'll matter to you. So Lisa on Wednesday, it'll be awesome. She's great. Now a little behind the scenes of the podcast. I never know what I'm going to talk about Monday mornings. I really try to shut off work over the weekend. So it's not like I'm sitting around brainstorming ideas. I'm not thinking about relevant sports industry questions while I'm at my kid's soccer game. I'm thinking about my kid's soccer game. Not to sound preachy, but be present in your moments, people. That's what really matters. You don't always have to be connected to work or to the world. You know, be in your own spot. I start my day Monday morning and I look around for inspiration. What am I feeling? What are people asking? Where is their conversation going? So I check our private Facebook group. I look at all my LinkedIn. I look at all those places where people ask me questions and try to find something that stands out. So this morning I check our private Facebook group. Again, if you are not a member of that group, I do not understand what's wrong with you. There are, at last check, 1,251 people in there, and they're all focused on networking and asking sports career focused questions and helping each other out. Plus, many of our past guests are active in the group, like Chris Valente, who is the director of sales for Fenway Sports Management. He literally posted something this weekend when group member Sean Stewart posted a question asking if anyone had heard of Sponsor United, a company he was interviewing with. Okay, so think about this for a second. I know I'm going off track, but just this is what I do. Think about this for a second. You're on our site. You're on our Facebook group, I mean. You're on our Facebook group. You're interacting with other people. You ask, hey, I just had a phone interview with for a virtual sponsorship internship position for the LA Chargers with Sponsor United. Has anyone heard anything about this company? Wish me luck. So you ask that question. And guess what? The director of sales for Fenway Sports Marketing, Sports Management responds, quote, they are revolutionizing the way teams get data on sponsorships. We, parentheses, the Red Sox, bought their product. Great company. Hello, where the hell else does that happen? I mean, seriously, you ask a question about your career and like, hey, anybody heard about this company? I just interviewed with them. What do you think? And the director of sales for Fenway Sports Management responds directly to you. That's some powerful stuff. That is a pretty cool group, right? So if you're not in the group, I don't know what you're doing. So join the group already. Search for the Work in Sports podcast on Facebook, answer a few easy questions, and I will personally let you in. If you say something nice about me, I'll let you in even faster. Flattery works, people. Don't think it doesn't. Anyway, I bring this up because checking our private Facebook group this morning, I saw an incredible question from Marlon, and I saw the response to it. That's always a big thing. Like, people ask great questions and sometimes it doesn't generate the conversation. But Marlon asked this question and it got like 26 comments immediately. So you know right there, this is an important conversation. This is things people are interested in. So let me tell you what Marlon asked. Marlon's question: do you think an advanced degree works against you for getting a job in sports? I already work for teams on a part-time game day basis, but looking for advancement within. Any suggestions or advice? So like I said, this question had 26 comments and clearly sparked some important conversation. So I think that's a pretty good spot to start a Monday podcast. Right? Right? We all agree? Right. Okay, Marlon, my man, let's talk advanced degrees. First, I want to start with a message for everyone. You have to, so this is not directly related to the question, but it is related. So just, it's an important foundational conversation and part of this. You have to pursue a master's with a specific intention. A master's, especially in sports, cannot be thought of as a delay tactic. I hear this all the time. I'm about to graduate, don't know what I want to do, so I'm going to get my master's while I figure things out. That is a terrible idea. You are better off going to work and figuring things out and gaining experience that way. A master's has to be something that is very intentional and that you've done the research into. This process of just getting your master's to see and figure things out does not work well in sports. In the business world, getting your MBA can be a helpful addition as you wait to figure out your next steps, but not the same with sports. Now, I know this sounds confusing because I always talk about sports as being just another form of business, which is very true. But MBAs are seen differently in traditional business roles than they are necessarily in sports, or just even your master's in sports management isn't like a lottery ticket. Like, oh, I got this. Now I'm like guaranteed for success. It will come. It will be good, but it's not the same. So you have to do it with intention. Like, I know if I want to do this role, if I want to get to this point, I need a master's to get there. It's got to be intentional. I love master's degrees in the sports industry, and there are many great programs. I mentioned one at the beginning of the show, University of Florida. But if you need to go into these programs with intention, you need to ask yourself questions before you decide on getting your master's. What do I want? What do I expect from this program? How will this program help me? Do they offer courses that set me on my path? Will I gain real world work experience? Will I make connections? What's the format of the coursework? Like, every program has a balance of classes and experience and internships, and you want to make sure it has the right mix for you and what your expectations are. If you want to get into academia, then maybe the more rigorous, you know, coursework is more important than out in the world experience. If you want to work in operations or something of that matter, or in college athletics, then maybe you need to have a program that emphasizes more work experience. You really need to figure out a right match. It's not about where you get in. It's about what fits you. Get specific. If the website of the master's program is very generic, it kind of tells you, you know, we're going to teach you an all-inclusive experience in sports management. That's not enough. You need to know specifics, right? You need to see the courses that are offered. You need to see the alumni and what they're doing in the industry. If you can't see any proof of concept into what they're doing, don't do it. You know, ask questions. I guarantee if you contacted University of Florida or Temple or Georgetown or Seattle University and said, hey, I'm considering applying for my master's. Can I see a list of alumni who are currently working in the industry? Check the list. Is it legit? Does it impress you? Does it excite you? Could you see yourself amid this list? Or are these all people doing jobs that don't interest you? If they don't even provide that level of information, run away. If they aren't proud of what their alumni have achieved, then you're just going to be another alumni not achieving much, but with lots more debt. You should get excited about the potential before you apply for the master's, because you know what the end goal is. You know what it looks like. It can't just be generic of, I want to work for a team, so I'm going to go get my master's. No, get specific. If you aren't getting specific, if you aren't asking questions about the program, question yourself why. Why are you doing this? The other thing I would do before I decide to get my master's is to do some deep searching on our site, workinsports.com. Pick out 10 to 15 jobs that look interesting to you and fit where you want to go in your career. Look through the job descriptions and requirements. Do they want you to have a master's? Do they even mention it? Is it a nice to have or is it a mandate? I'll tell you, a lot of jobs, in most, if every job in college athletics, they want you to have a master's. So there you go. If you're not going to work in college athletics, do a little bit more digging to find out and know whether it's even necessary and helps you. Do that work before so you know whether the master's fits the needs of the industry and your needs. Again, we're always trying to match you with the wants and needs of the marketplace. You need to match yourself to the wants and needs of the employers that are out there. If they want people with a master's, great. If they don't, that's information. Use it. Using our site, workinsports.com, to find this information is extremely powerful. Now, for this question, Marlon's question, you already have your master's, so the last part was moot. Important for others, but doesn't really help you at all. So let's get to you. Does a master's make you overqualified? Simply put, for some jobs, yeah, in some companies specifically. Think of it from the employer's perspective. They know you are smart, qualified, motivated, able, but they are extremely worried you are going to be unsatisfied in an entry-level role and be a thorn in their side looking to move up or looking to move out in a short time period. That's their message they tell themselves in their brain. Employers do not really like the hiring process. They want to be over and then have someone in a role for a year plus, right? They want to fill that role and move forward. They don't want to bring someone in who is going to immediately believe they deserve more and better instantaneously. And sorry to say, that's what a master's sometimes represents to idiots in hiring. I mean that last word. Many are idiotic, short-sighted, and threatened by work. But this is a problem in the world. I had a boss once, Mark Shukin, president of the Pac-12 network. Maybe I should get him on the show. I think we left on good terms. Anyway, Mark told me once his job was to hire people smarter than him. Now, he hired me, so obviously he was onto something. But truth is, that should be the mentality of all people in hiring. Hire people who are driven, who are motivated to improve, who do have elite skill sets. But that isn't always the reality. The reality is many people in mid-level management who are usually in charge of hiring entry-level roles don't want to be challenged or threatened. So they hire people who are safely below them. Quote, grad students have a sense of entitlement. That's the word coming from more than one executive in charge of hiring I spoke to anonymously. They'd rather hire someone who can be molded than someone who already is molded in someone else's form. But again, this isn't the whole story. That's just a fraction of the marketplace. Like with anything else, it's about finding the right match. There are companies and institutions who supremely value a master's in higher education. And frankly, those are the companies you want to work with anyway. You have to reframe your mind. Right now, you are feeling frustration, which I get. But in reality, what you have done through this process is disqualify some short-sighted employers from your vision. You now know who doesn't value intellect, who won't challenge their employers, and won't push for the best, and won't strive for greatness. They won't be successful businesses. The right businesses, the successful businesses, push for all those things. They want the smartest people. I guarantee you my old boss, Mark Shukin, president of Pac-12 Network, would love to hire people with a master's because he wants the challenge. He wants the great staff. He wants great people. Now, I think the onus is on you as well. You really need to check your portfolio. Does your cover letter tell a great story about how you can help that specific business you are applying for? Does your resume highlight the skills mandated for this particular job? Start there. Make yourself incredibly noticeable because you have the skills they need and can weave a story about how you will help them. Look to network with people inside the company you're applying for. This is one of the cool features of workinsports.com. All right, I love this. When you're a member and you look at a job, any job, let's say it's with Nike. If you have any LinkedIn connections that work at Nike, it'll show them at the bottom of the job description. Right there on our site, we are connected with LinkedIn. So you know who you are connected to at that organization. Doesn't matter whether it's a big or small company either. If you're connected to somebody at that company, it will tell you so you know to reach out to them. Pretty cool, right? Each and every application, getting back on track here, each and every application needs to be an intentional event. You must customize your resume and cover letter and work on specific networking techniques to meet people on the inside. How you present your application gets you the interview. Then how you present yourself gets you the job. Remember that. I have people ask me all the time, should I take my master's off my resume when applying for jobs? I don't like this idea. You earned it, you deserve it, and I think it says more about the employer than it does about you if they dismiss you because you have a master's. But that's a personal choice. I'd say it can't be across the board. It has to be intentional, again, and specific to the job. If the list of requirements doesn't have anything that should that's related to what you learned in your master's program, well, yeah, maybe you take it off. That's your call. I wouldn't, but then again, I don't have my master's. Final thought and a little data. Young people today are the most educated generation in U.S. history. You are not alone, and it's not as much of a differentiator if you have your master's. But what they are often lacking, and this is data again, they are often lacking is soft skills. And it's the soft skills that can land the job. In the interview process, personality, humor, charisma, likability, coachability, leadership, work ethic, passion, they all matter a lot. But these traits aren't as evident in today's generation, according to HR executives. So work on that. Work on the way you present yourself. Here's another thing hiring managers know. Master's students expect to make 50% more when they earn their master's degree. So even if you're telling yourself and think to yourself, I'm willing to work for whatever it takes, in their mind, they're already preconceived that you're going to want way more money than they may be able to offer. This is what you have to overcome. This is your challenge. The good news is those with a master's, once they make that breakthrough and get their foot inside, have a much higher career ceiling. They'll fill more executive roles. They'll have more career satisfaction and will earn a ton more money. So the upside is huge. The payoff is real, people. Sometimes it can just be a frustrating journey, but anything worth having is worth working for. All right, everybody. I hope that answers your question, Marlon, and everybody else in the private Facebook group. Yes, we will have a Facebook Live Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. this week. And yes, you will subscribe to this podcast. Yes, you will leave an awesome review. And yes, you will tune in to listen to Lisa Bregman's interview on Wednesday. For now, get back to work.